This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan. Simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Wednesday morning. It happened to the Yankees yesterday. Gerrit Cole shut him down, and it wasn't like he was the Gerrit Cole, untouchable, unhittable Gerrit Cole that we have seen throughout this season and against the Rays in the ALDS. The Yankees had their opportunities, inning after inning, and could not get the big hit. The big hit that they have always gotten in 2019, they could not get. Didi Gregorius, ball dying on the warning track that would have given him a 3-2 lead. In the first inning, first and second, Brett Gardner, boom, out. Supposed to be out of the park, not a pop out. As frustrating a loss as the Yankees could have possibly had. And by the way, the Houston Astros last night, they look like a championship team. Hit and run, doing everything right, defensively, hanging in there, home runs, tacking on at the end. That was a championship ball club, and the Yankees are now down 2-1 and in a serious, serious situation, because now if they're going to win this series, they got to go back to Houston, and they have not proven that they can beat either Cole or Verlander. I thought the Yankees would get to him yesterday, Boomer. It didn't happen. They were close, but Cole did it again. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, man. And, I felt like, whoever won yesterday's game is going to win this series. And yesterday they had him on the ropes, man. I know they had, five or six hits, and then he also had five walks or whatever it was. But the bottom of the lineup was, 0-for-12 or 0-for-13. When I say the bottom of the lineup, I'm talking about Gregorius, Sanchez, Urshela, and Hicks. Although Hicks had some really good at-bats and took a couple walks. But, that part of the lineup has kind of disappeared. And I saw Didi after the game. He took the whole thing on his own shoulders. And while that is a very admirable thing to do and something that I can totally appreciate, the honesty and all that other stuff, because I think we're all big Didi Gregorius fans. We all like him, and we all think that he is like one of the more popular Yankees in the clubhouse, and he really is. He has had opportunity after opportunity, and twice yesterday, unfortunately, did not come through. And for all of us who like him and are rooting for him, to listen to him say that at the end of the game, it didn't make me feel any better, but it also made me realize he is aware of what's going on here. And I wonder, I'm just hypothetically wondering if something, doesn't move on here, meaning the Yankees don't move on to the World Series against the Nationals, is this the end of the Didi Gregorius era here? Because they'll move Gleyber Torres over to short and play LeMahieu at second, and then they can get Voit and whoever else they want at first base, on the field next year. But yes, that was really frustrating because, as you just pointed out, Gerrit Cole was not really Gerrit Cole until late in the game. And as John Smoltz was taking us through the game, and just amazing to listen to him break down the pitches of what kind of pitches are coming and what you think's happening here and how he just, focused on Cole and how he was getting better each and every inning, was really amazing. And that was the thing. They're going to have to beat Cole or Verlander, and twice now they've had the chance to do that, and they have not done it.
Yeah. And
think about that. Game two, they could have won.
Both of these games were winnable.
And game three, they could have won. And I'm telling you right now, this vaunted Yankee bullpen, failed again. And this time, it was Ottavito again. I don't know what Aaron Boone is watching or seeing or feeling. I put the numbers away because the eye test will tell you that Ottavino is not a guy that should be in a high leverage situation in this series again.
Yeah,
and he cannot do it again. You can't. This is twice now.
All of September, he wasn't the same. And then,
so whatever's bothering him is bothering him. I'm just trying to point out what I think is obvious to all of us. And while I thought that the Astros would win yesterday because of Gerrit Cole, and I still think this thing is going seven, and they're going to have to beat, you know, Gerrit Cole in game seven, most likely, if not game six. The thing to me is that, you know, you had a chance now to beat Verlander and Cole, and you didn't do it. And your bullpen and your offense are two parts of your team that are supposed to be the best parts of your team. And in different areas, they have failed you in the last two games.
Yeah, it's really about, to me, the lineup and how this lineup's been shut down in back-to-back games. And I never, ever thought that that would be the case. Now, you wanted to tell me that the Yankees starting pitching couldn't match up, and the Astros lineup was just a little bit better because of that, and the Yankees would be losing games, you know, 6-4 or 7-6 or stuff like that. I would have been I could have understood that. This, you know, one run, two runs, three runs in two games, that's not something I expected. And, you know, you could talk about the baseball. People were talking about it last night as the Didi Gregorius fly ball dies at the warning track. The Maldonado one to left field dies on the warning track.
Both teams are playing with the same ball.
Yeah, right. And I don't know if that's a factor or not. And it's really, there's no point in even trying to figure it out because we're never going to get to the truth on that. But I tell you, if balls are dying on the warning track for the Yankees, that would normally go out, then they don't have a shot because that's their entire game. That's their entire game.
I don't agree with that because I think going into these playoffs and coming to this point of the season, which is really the money spot of the season, we talked about Urshela and LeMahieu becoming a part of this team. Now, Urshela's gone cold, but those guys have been getting base hits, and LeMahieu's still hitting. LeMahieu's hitting. You know, Judge is still chasing bad pitches. Even he admitted it after the game yesterday. Like, if I know that he's got an 0-2 count or a 1-2 count that counts in favor of the pitcher, what is the pitcher throwing him?
Well, he's going to be throwing him a breaking ball on the outer half like they used to get Stanton out with.
All right, so Aaron Judge should know that. I mean, he's a great baseball player. He needs to know that. And
I think he does
swing at the crap.
I think he does know it's coming, and it looks to him like a strike, and he keeps swinging at it, and it's out of the zone.
I'm telling you right now, when this whole thing is over, you know what we're going to hear? I swear to God, I know we're going to hear it. And it's going to piss Yankee fans off, and it should, and it's going to tick me off. Because there's nothing more admirable than a guy playing when he's injured. And I get the sacrifice and the want to, and I want to be there. I need to be there for my teammates. I live that life, so I know. But there's nothing worse than watching Gary Sanchez labor down first base when he can't run.
Yeah,
and there's obviously something wrong. That groin is not right, and it's affecting him, and it's affecting him in the box. He grounds out the shortstop, and I swear to God, he was thrown out by a good 10 yards.
Yeah,
and you're like, okay, well, he obviously isn't busting it out of the batter's box, and there's a reason for that.
And I know that Zach Britton was all over the place, but you know, Gary Sanchez didn't have any issues with pass balls this year. He was great. It wasn't something we were talking about. And the times that he has had issues with that, and I know these were wild pitches, but at times he has had issues with that, it's when he hasn't been right and when he's been hurt and when it's been groin injuries, by the way. So
that's right. So I we're going to hear about it. I'm telling you, we're going to hear about it. And, this is where, having tactical esteem and credibility and being able to communicate with your players and everything, This is where it falls on the shoulders of Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman. Now, yeah, the sky is falling. It is. It really does. It feels like it. I kind of expected that. I walked in here this morning. I felt like walked into a funeral home. I swear. I mean, everybody in here, even the guys that aren't Yankee fans, with the exception of Eddie. Eddie's like, you know, he's flying around here like a butterfly today.
Yeah.
But everybody else, all the CBS sports guys over there and everything else, everybody's just like miserable. Everybody has just got like, there's a cloud over the whole place. I kind of expected it.
Yeah. You know how, to like, be shut down like this, though. I know it's Gerrit Cole and I know he hasn't lost, but to have the opportunities and not come through. And now you're talking about two games where you scored three runs. And now you know if you're going to win the series, you have to go back to Houston. I mean, it changed everything.
Game seven
changed everything. And oh, by the way, I don't know how many times you said yesterday, and you said it again today, you thought the team that won this game would win the series. So that's why it feels like that. And it really, it wasn't just a loss. Okay, so game two, did you feel like the Astros were a better team than the Yankees when they beat them?
No.
Yesterday, did you feel like the Yankees?
Yes.
Yes, that's the point, is the way the game went.
How about
the
game Astros one? What did game one tell you?
At game one, you felt like the Yankees were the better team, but now it's back-to-back losses, and the Astros just looked great. They just looked, they did everything right.
They looked like that team
right.
back in 2017.
They did everything right.
And remember, so the Yankees won a game in Houston, which they didn't do in 2017, and the Astros won a game in New York, which they didn't do in 2017.
Right.
So the Yankees aren't intimidated, and they're not, I mean, the Astros are not intimidated, and the reason they're not is because when you throw a guy out there like Gerrit Cole, and even when he doesn't have his best stuff early in the game, and you have a chance when you got him on the ropes and you pop up the ball, and it's just, it was so frustrating. They had so many opportunities, and it's just, it's mind-numbing. And when you think about now the decisions moving forward, now so what the baseball players do really well and probably better than anybody is put yesterday behind them.
Sure.
And it is it's about looking forward now and making sure that you get game number four. You have to get game number four, whether it's tonight or tomorrow night, you have to get it. You have to
and
get
it's
it.
Probably going to be tomorrow night. I mean, the forecast looks – now, originally, a few days ago, it looked like it was going to rain during the day and then maybe have a chance to stop at night. That has changed. It's now pushed back where you're not going to get rain until the afternoon, and then it's just going to go through the entire night. And we're not saying 65%. I mean, it says 100% rain for hours and hours and hours. So, to me, there is no way – that you're going to have a game tonight unless this forecast is terrible.
You're not making the decision.
I know I'm not making the decision, but if they're going to play in the rain, then sure, they'll play. But if they don't want to play in the rain, then they're not going to play unless this forecast is total bullcrap, which I don't believe that it is.
And Thursday is going to be windy and could be one of those real blustery fall days,
yeah,
which could be interesting in itself, and we'll see what happens with the ball when they hit it in the air on Thursday.
Right, so you know, you could talk about who it helps. I do think the fact that you've got a game that is essentially a must-win now for the Yankees in game four, I'd much rather have the day off and have Tanaka on full rest at home in that game four on Thursday, which is what you would get if there was a rainout. Now, what it does for the Astros is it allows Justin Verlander to come back in a game five and on full rest, which is something that was not going to happen, and that you don't love because you get Verlander. But also, you could look at it like, hey, I'd rather have Verlander at Yankee Stadium than back in Houston. But that's what we said about Gerrit Cole, and then Gerrit Cole did what he did last night, even though the Yankees.
But even though he wasn't great last night,
I know, but
he was
still
great
shut
when,
him down,
when,
even makes it even more impressive.
You're right. I mean, when there was what they call traffic on the base paths, that's when he actually stepped it up. And you know, they kept chasing balls that were up, and they just kept popping them up, man. Just kept popping them up.
Well, here's another thing that we have to talk about is the swinging at first pitches or early in the count, because everybody's going nuts on Twitter. How are you swinging at the first pitch? Well, that clearly was a plan for the Yankees. It wasn't them being frustrated and not being patient. Their plan was to jump on early pitches for Gerrit Cole because they didn't want to be behind in the count and let him do his thing. But they just... they didn't deliver. You know, that was the thing.
And you know why, though? Because then you see what happens to Judge later on, right?
Yeah.
So he does, you know, if he doesn't swing at the first pitch and there's 0-1, and then he does foul off the second pitch, 0-2,
exactly.
Then what? There's going to be three straight sliders out of the strike zone, and he's going to swing, and he's going to miss by 4 feet.
Right. I mean, that was a strategy. It was like, okay, you want to come with a strike, first pitch, fastball, we're going to swing at it, and we hopefully are going to get some hits out of it. But it seemed like when they did that, the ball was always up in the air. It was either popped up to the infield or it was a routine fly ball to the outfield. It didn't work out the way that they wanted
to. And I'll tell you the other thing, Brett Gardner had trouble out in left field. You know, there was that one ball that hit, you know, he should have had. That was, I mean, most left fielders are going to make that play.
Yeah,
I'm like, what's going on out there?
It was a weird. The game was weird, right? So like, if you're watching on Fox Sports 1, there was like a glitch with the broadcast
the whole time.
Yeah, the entire time, which was very, very strange. And then you had that umpire delay, which I cannot understand for the life of me why they weren't prepared for that. I mean, think about it, be in a situation where you know that this is a possibility. It took them what, a 20 something minutes to find protection for Kerwin Danley to beat a home plate umpire?
Well, I mean,
that was ridiculous.
He's got to, you don't understand something. He's got to go unpack the stuff. He's got to take his clothes off.
Right?
No. He's got he has his own stuff. They travel with their own stuff. Didn't you hear what they were saying yesterday?
You know,
that's what Joe Buck was saying. And then you have to take your clothes off, and then you got to put your stuff back on, and then you got to put the clothes back on over the
stuff. We got a lot to unpack here.
There's a lot to unpack there. And by the way, Al, let me ask you a question. You've been around here for a long time with me, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, the whole time.
Since from the beginning, right?
Yeah, first day.
Who's like one of my favorite broadcasters? Like when you think of guys that were a part of yesterday's broadcast.
Yesterday.
Like, you know, who's like one of my favorite all-time broadcasters?
And KB.
He's a young guy. What?
KB.
Yeah. Yes.
Kevin Burkhardt.
Yeah, Kevin Burkhardt, yes. Can I ask you a question, Al? Why didn't Kevin Burkhardt ask A-Rod when they went to those guys with the screaming maniacs behind them on TV, okay? And ask A-Rod, look, you tweeted out in the first inning that Severino was tipping his pitches. And you listed everything that you know, but yet they didn't talk about that at all when they went back to them.
Yeah, back to him, by the way, because of that stupid umpire delay.
Yes, and
yeah,
but why wouldn't you ask him about that?
That question has to be asked. Yeah, he tweeted out and said basically that the Astros knew what was coming, and they didn't talk about it all, just generic baseball talk in the middle of the, what do you do during a delay like
that? I did need it that.
I mean, yeah, listen, I'm not saying that it's easy what they had to do. I understand there are glitches. There are going to be things that are going to be moving back and forth.
That's the first thing you ask.
I saw A-Rod tweet out that Severino was tipping his pitches, at least in his eyes, he was, especially with the way that the Astros were going after certain pitches and their body language. I don't know what that meant. Why wouldn't you talk about that in the middle of that?
It was a missed opportunity. This was, by the way, during that whole thing.
That is what they call a swing and a miss.
Sure. This is what Joel Sherman tweeted out during that whole thing. He's been to plenty of games in which the home plate ump had to be removed due to injury or illness. I can never remember it taking close to this long to make the change. This is ludicrous, is what he said. It was that. Now it didn't hurt anybody, but that was ridiculous.
If anybody, I thought it would. If it were you, people, I know Smoltz was talking about Severino sitting there.
Yeah,
and then he said, "Well, Cole has been sitting there longer."
Yeah, no, he was, and then you had he wasn't because Severino came right back out,
and then Cole supposedly went down underneath the stadium and had threw a couple light tosses, had a few, you know, a little catch down there.
Man, he was. That was probably, even though he wasn't as dominant as he was in the Rays series, this was as impressive as he's ever been.
All right, well.
Because he got out of jams. His location wasn't great. The Yankees had all, you know, traffic on the bases.
Well, here's the deal. With the exception of Tanaka versus Greinke, the starting pitchers, Paxton and Severino, you know, didn't really hold their own against the starting pitchers, Verlander and Gerrit Cole. But we kind of expected that.
It's the Yankee lineup against these guys.
All right, hold on.
The Yankee pitching has done enough. They've done enough to win these games. They did enough in game two
That's part of the game. But the vaunted bullpen, you know, Chad Green has been amazing. Canely has been good. Ottavino has been bad. Britton was not great yesterday. You know, so this vaunted Yankee bullpen that's supposed to be a strength along with the batting
order. Scored one run. It didn't matter. Scored one run. I mean, let's break it down. They scored one run.
It's supposedly this series is supposed to be this amazing series against these two great baseball teams. The only amazing game we've had is game two. The first three games, just brutal, frustrating and not great. And I know there was excitement in the air yesterday simply because of, you know, who's playing and all that other stuff, but that game wasn't exciting.
You don't think yesterday's game was exciting?
I thought it was frustrating more
it was
so.
It was frustrating.
I'm a baseball fan.
Right, I guess.
With the umpire, you know, getting knocked out and 20 minutes of delay.
It was weird.
The whole thing was kind of strange, man.
It felt like an odd night.
I think that was like an epic game.
No, I mean, it wasn't because the Yankees scored one run, but there were still moments of excitement because they had opportunities where it felt like that one big hit could change the entire series, and the Yankees never got it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if the Yankees got it and they tied it and put it in the extra innings, then maybe it's an epic game. And to me, it's not an epic.
Well, Didi's fly ball dying at the warning track changed everything. That was it.
That place would have exploded, had it gone over the fence.
It would have been the epic game. So, still could be an epic series, but you know, the Yankees, which are probably, I'm going to say the probability is that they're not going to play tonight. And then they'll have Tanaka on full rest. Are going to have to tie, when you tie this series up, then you want to go back to Houston 3-2. Obviously, you know, holding serve, if you will, is the key.
I don't know. You know, Chad Green only threw, what, 8 pitches?
Now, if you got Tanaka on full rest and you can pitch him at home, I don't know why you wouldn't do that. to go down, you're talking about your best starting pitcher right
Who
now in this
calling?
Situation. You know, now that they're 2-1.
Yeah. This whole thing changes. It's amazing. This is part of the fun of it, trying to figure all this stuff out. We did figure out that Hicks would be in the lineup yesterday.
They could either go Greinke again, or they could go, if they wanted to do their own version of a bullpen game still, because they're up 2-1. They felt like they wanted to do that. You know, I don't know.
We said that Hicks was going to be in the lineup. He was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We
looked
said
good.
That Gardner was going to be in the left field, and he was.
Right.
Now the question is, what the hell is going on with Stanton? Because it was reported yesterday by a guy with the bow tie.
Ken Rosenthal.
All right, so the guy with the bow tie basically said that, you know, the decision was made before Stanton even got to the stadium.
Right, which doesn't sound like that means there was any shot of him playing.
I think he ought to got the bow tie. The guy with the bow tie.
Yeah.
He also said, I think it was him, and there was a lot of people talking yesterday, so I'm just trying to remember who said what. But I think he also said, had this injury happened during the season, he would be put on IR or a list or IL, whatever the hell they call it.
Yeah, so basically you feel like he's not going to come back.
Giancarlo?
Well, I think they're going to try to bring him back, but if
if he doesn't play, if they have a day off today, let's just say they have a day off today to play Thursday, he's not in the lineup, then when the hell are you ever going to see him? When are you going to see him? Because now you've had how many days? So now, and you're so right about the Gary Sanchez thing we'll hear about. We'll hear about the oblique for Edwin Encarnacion. We'll hear about that after
the season.
These guys
shouldn't be playing if they're not 100%.
Giancarlo Stanton, he came back. If he comes back, then he strikes out four times in pivotal spots, and oh, he was too hurt.
Part of what made this Yankee team so likable was some of the other guys. And now all of a sudden, Mike Tauchman supposedly is back in the mix.
What, for a World Series? Potentially, or what?
I mean, I don't know, maybe for Thursday.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you.
Wow. Yeah, that would be something else.
But what made this
Mike
Yankee
Tauchman
team...
Mike Tauchman saves the season.
Well, let's face it, come on, man.
Sounds like a children's
book. Yankee fan knows this. What made this Yankee team was kind of like the unheralded players that came through in big spots. And, you know, and I'm not saying that they'll do it now because you're playing against the Astros, and the Astros are the team, and they have the pitching staff and all that other stuff, and their bullpen is killing it right now. But, you know, you had guys like Tauchman and Ford and Voit, and, you know, and Brett Gardner made it through an entire season, had one of his best seasons ever. I mean, so there were all these, like, unheralded players. You know, even Austin Romine had his moments during the season where he was great as a fill-in for Gary Sanchez. And that's what made this thing so exciting and so, like, you wanted to support this team. And then all of a sudden, now all these guys are coming back. And, you know, I think they are playing hurt. I think there's something wrong with Gary Sanchez.
I would agree. And that's they're not going to say anything now.
And I appreciate it. I appreciate him sacrificing and wanting to be out there. I get it. I understand.
But if he's going to play like this, then you're doing more damage than good.
This is why Aaron Boone has got to take a serious... It's Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman. They have got to take a serious look at this stuff, and they got to go back and look at the videos. They got to see if something's bothering him, and they have to go to him. Is something bothering you? What is going on?
Right.
Because I'd much rather have a fully healthy Austin Romine behind the plate who will eventually or, you know, somehow get a key hit or sack fly, or he's just a good, solid baseball player, but – to play guys that are injured just because of their names and because of what you think they can do, I think is you're playing with fire.
Put Roman behind him up?
Maybe.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.